Now, I want you to think about a violin, a pair of clogs, and a child's teddy bear. These are just some of the objects that were photographed by a Sydney-based artist when he was granted access to the closed archives of Sachsenhausen and Ravensbrück concentration camps after their liberation. Behind each of these objects photographed, now exhibiting at the Sydney Jewish Museum, is a story of the deeply tragic and personal lives chronicling the humanity and trauma of these individuals being memorialised in a way never seen before. So joining us to talk more about his experiences in bringing these artefacts to light through his exhibition is Richard Weisel himself. The exhibition is called Objects from the Concentration Camps. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Amelia.
Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. What an honour.
So your relative Elise, who is a Holocaust survivor and a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, was granted access to these archives. So I'm curious to know, how did this personal journey sort of begin?
So look, I've always had a history in European, interest in European history for a very long time. And when we were on a family vacation late last year, to Germany, I did a tour with my two boys, teenage boys, of Sachsenhausen. And a doctor, Robert Sommer, very kindly took us around. And during that tour, there were a lot of, obviously, it's an amazing memorial, beautifully done, beautifully representing the victims. And I said to Robert, there's so much artifacts and so many historical things on display here, there must be so much more. And he basically said, there's like 10 times more that you don't see because they can't put out because they're delicate, they're valuable, or there is no room. And then from that conversation sparked a whole bunch of emails. And then within about 5 months, I was at the camp photographing these amazing artifacts with, you know, the blessing of both memorials, Sachsenhausen, and the women's camp, as you said, Ravensbrück, in just outside of Berlin.
And you're a photographer, that is your artistic practice, but this exhibition is the first instance that all of these objects found in the concentration camps have been recorded. So I'm really curious, did you face any difficulties in being granted access to photographing these pieces?
No, I mean, Robert works at the memorials and takes school groups through, and he's a European world-renowned historian, so he had a lot of pull. And I think both camps were really... well, they were completely open and obliging and completely, you know, amazing to allow me access. I spent, I think, 1 week was 5 days, and then another time I went back was another 5 days, and nothing was off limits, and they were bringing me things that were, you know, we're putting on white gloves and a lot of artifacts that had not seen the light of day for since the liberation of the camp 74, 75 years ago. And it was a little bit, it was quite cathartic to be, a child of Holocaust survivors, I mean, born in Australia, to be working in a camp where and holding items that 75 years ago people were just dying or being murdered just across the road from where I was working, you know, the old SS barracks or garages where I was photographing, which are now their offices. So it was a weird experience, I have to say.
During that entire process in which you were taking those photos, and you have mentioned that you are the child of a Holocaust survivor, I wanted to know, do you, as a photographer, was it harder to find objectivity in a creative project when it's so bound up with your personal and cultural experience?
You know, I think Robert and I walked into this project saying, well, listen, here's the aim. What we would like to do is, you know, how do we honour those victims or those people that can't speak for themselves anymore? And for me, you know, the obvious answer was using the language and the grammar of photography to do that. And then what we're doing is that we were then able to marry those individuals' people's narratives or their story, because I don't look at these as photographs, I look at them as individual stories of people, and then to tell their story through historically researched documentation. So I'm doing the photographs and Robert's sitting next to me accessing the original SS files from when these people came into the camp, because the Germans, you know, recorded everything. So it was really always about the journey and the mission, which is to honour those that can't speak for themselves. There was a sub-story to that, you know, very much the theme of resilience interests me very quite strongly, and, you know, growth through trauma, and is there meaning after trauma? So my uncle Elie Wiesel, who wrote Night, was an influence for me. But then so was people like Viktor Frankl in his Man's Search for Meaning, and Primo Levi in his book What Is a Man, where they touch on those themes quite strongly.
Of those 42 images or stories, as you'd like to call them in this exhibition, I've read that you mentioned the image of a child's teddy bear has, of all of the images, had the strongest impact on you. Could you talk about your experience and why that's the case?
Absolutely. I mean, it was interesting that I always decided I want to photograph these items as items that people can relate to all the time, not, you know, a gas chamber or a tin of gas, which is horrific and horrible, but they're very difficult for people to, you know, understand what they really mean. But when we decided to photograph this teddy bear, which hadn't been touched since it was donated to the memorial back in 1993, it was really quite powerful and moving, because it was hard for me to comprehend that this little four-year-old child was murdered. And the story goes that this Romanian child had arrived on a gypsy transport to Ravensbrück Memorial in very late of 1944. And the child was trying very hard to keep up with the adults as they were marching from the railway lines into the camp. It was a couple of kilometre walk. And this little child dropped his teddy bear. And as he stepped out of line to pick up his teddy bear, an SS officer shot the child in the head, purely for breaking ranks without permission. Now, there was a political prisoner called Annie Sinderman who witnessed this entire event, and she was able to scoop up the teddy bear, and she hid it and kept it. And then after the war, she would talk about this teddy bear, and then before her death in 1993, she donated it to the memorial. And it was quite hard and strong. So I'm photographing this little teddy bear where, like I said, across the parade ground from where I was working was where this incident happened 75 years ago.
And in creating an exhibition like this, as you were saying, there's those aspects of like the very tragic reality of these personal stories of this young child, but also the fact that in retelling these stories, there is almost a reliving of the trauma when these things get told. So in curating and putting together this exhibition, I'm curious to know what kind of conversations that you're seeking to open up in this show at the Sydney Jewish Museum.
You know, I think it really comes down to, and my hope for this project is that when people see it, that the images they're seeing will move them in some way and they'll reach them, possibly make them think about what they're seeing, maybe even change their mind about what they've seen or their perception before they walked in to see the exhibition. And, you know, and I'm really hoping that it will move them enough to share what they've seen and felt with another person. And at the end of the day, that's what I really care about. It is, you know, someone else asked me once, you know, is this exhibition about, you know, a reaction to the rise of the far right around the world? And my response was, look, I don't see left and right. I just see right and wrong. And if we can learn from the past, and then that would be an amazing goal for me to have achieved with this work.
100%. And what has the response been so far from those who have attended?
It's been amazing. I mean, it's been traveling the world. So it was in Berlin at Ravensbrück in early April, and the guest books have been phenomenal from people around the world saying it's moved them, it's touched them. It's been just now in Johannesburg. Again, lots and lots of school groups have gone through where they're learning about the Holocaust in a new way, not just about dates and places and times and numbers, but they're now seeing actual items and objects with historical research data marrying the two together to tell a complete story. It's now the Sydney Jewish Museum, which is absolutely fantastic in my hometown. I'm just so delighted that it's there, and it'll be there till February. And it's moving on next week as well to Cape Town in South Africa for the summer months. And then next year it opens in Los Angeles at the Holocaust Museum on the 26th of January. And on the same date it opens in the Moscow Holocaust Museum, which is very interesting because that museum actually tells the Holocaust and the war from a Russian perspective, which I think out of all the countries in the world, they suffered the most. You know, they had like 26.6 million dead from that war alone. So it's traveling and it's doing more than I thought it would do. So I'm just completely, you know, I'm grateful and blessed.
It sounds like it's going to be traveling all over the world and making a very large and lasting impact. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Richard.
Amelia, thank you for having me. I really, really appreciated it.
It's been a pleasure. I've just been on the phone with Richard Wiesel. He's a photographer of the Objects from the Concentration Camps exhibition, which is looking at the deeply tragic stories behind some of those experiences from the Holocaust.